Hello, my name's Christiana and welcome to the Oceanside Community Church podcast. We're a church in Park Salon, Vancouver Island, with a vision to be fully devoted children of God, fully mature in Jesus Christ, and fully alive with the Holy Spirit. We welcome you to join us weekly on this journey. For more information about our church, visit our website at oceansidecommunitychurch.ca or download our mobile app. We pray that you'll be blessed and equipped by today's teaching.
We've come out of a bit of time of feasting, Christmas time, and Advent, and there are time for celebration in the Christian life, and then sometimes there's time for fasting and dedicating ourselves to the Lord in that way. So just as kind of a symbolic sign that the feasting season is a bit over, I took down all my Christmas decorations yesterday, finally got around to it, and so the lights are down, the tree's put away, and we just kind of sense that we're coming into a new season as we move on from Christmas. And it's still a great season of delight in the Lord. It's traditionally called Epiphany, which just means appearing, where we start to realize who, in fact, Jesus is now after his birth. So we are having a week of prayer and fasting this week. It's something that we often do in January, but I've never actually preached only on fasting here at Oceanside, and some people have asked about this practice recently, so I thought it was just a good time to learn a bit together in the hopes that it will bring us closer to God. So I'm going to do kind of a basic introduction today. My title is Fasting to be Filled, and we'll talk about what we're filled with, but also plays off of our recent Filled series. But I'm going to define fasting, talk about why we fast, and then also how we practically do it. So let's start with fasting defined. This is pretty easy, but just want to make sure we're on the same page. That fasting is setting aside all foods, so just kind of liquids only, in order to deny ourselves and to seek God. So the most basic definition of fasting is just abstaining from food for a period of time. And, you know, it's as simple as that. And we'll talk about some other ways to fast non-food later. So that's what fasting is. But why do we fast, of course, is the more important question. So let me first give some of the basic answers of why we fast. Spiritual fasting is different than just fasting, which, you know, touts the health benefits or the known health benefits of fasting, which are great and an extra grace that is received, and the Lord knows that and understands that, but we're not fasting for that. It's not really Christian fasting if we're doing that. That's not really what we're talking about today. Also, you know, we don't fast to feel holy or to just perform a duty and check a box. That's not what God's after. We do not fast to prove anything to God or that we deserve his favor. In fact, God is very clear about this in Isaiah 58, which we'll look at the second half later. But in the first couple of verses, you know, he says, hey, basically, I'm not impressed that you're just fasting to say you've done it and to think that you've earned my favor. And then he goes on to say what kind of fasting he does prefer, and we'll look at that in a little bit. So why do we fast? Let's give these basic answers. Number one, Jesus told us to. That's always a good place to start. He says in the text that Hannah just read, when you fast, not if you fast, right? He says when. He expected us to do it, to be a regular part of a disciple's life, and then he proclaims the rewards of it in verse 18 of Matthew 6. So fasting is a part of the normal Christian life. Jesus, he reiterates this again later on in Matthew 9, verses 14 and 15, when John's disciples came and said, hey, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples, Jesus' disciples, do not? And Jesus says, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he, meaning himself, is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, when Jesus is no longer here and present. Then they will fast. So in Matthew 6, Jesus says, when you fast. In Matthew 9, he says, you know, then we will fast at a later time when he departs the earth. So Jesus told us to. Second, of course, Jesus did, and we're to model his life. So Matthew 4, Mark 1, Luke 4, all record that Jesus fasted. Number three, basically, every great person in the Bible fasted. If we get a lot of details of their life, we find out that they often fasted. And then number four, a lot of what has happened in church history can be traced back to periods of fasting. A lot of revival movements began when people started fasting and praying, and you see this over and over again. And of course, just a lot of Christians personally can testify the joy and fullness fasting brings and the impact it has on their life. I can testify to this in my own life, that throughout my university years, and to be honest, fasting has become harder in family life and kids in this certain season and context, but in university years, as I was preparing for ministry, I fasted a day of week throughout my university years to kind of prepare myself for ministry, and sometimes extended that into several days or longer, and it had a profound impact on my spiritual growth and who I am today. So for some, this is enough. Hey, Jesus said to do it. Jesus did it. People throughout church history have done it. I'm in, right? Some of us, that's fine. But most of us, if not all, probably need a little more vision behind the why than that. And so let's talk about why fast. That was the basic answers. But let's go a little deeper to the deeper answers to hopefully increase our appetite, probably not the best word there, for fasting. So the deeper answers, we abstain from food so that we might feed on Christ and drink from his spirit. Right? We don't fast because we should, we fast because we need to. We need more of God. We need to feed on his presence. Fasting is all about bringing a deeper love for God and a greater sensitivity to his spirit. In the same way, or as we hunger for food, it causes us to pray that we might hunger for God in the same way. We pray that we would desire God more than we desire food, or more than even life itself, that we would be long to be filled with the Spirit in the same way that we long to be filled with foods. Fasting can bring a greater awareness of God and his presence in our lives and in the world around us. We begin to see ourselves and the world around us with a greater spiritual sensitivity and depth, and open ourselves to being filled not with food, but as we talked about on Christmas Eve, Ephesians 3:19, to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I talked a little bit last week of, you know, sometimes we just get our priorities a little out of whack, and we're more in tune sometimes with the world around us, the physical world, than the spiritual world that we can't see. I was reading an article by my former professor at Regent, Bruce Hindmarsh, and he made this great insight as I was reading his article on prayer. And he says this, he says, the heightened anxiety about the coronavirus in recent times has made us more aware of just how permeable our bodies themselves are, right? We've really learned about that, even at an invisible and microscopic level. But then he says, how much more so spiritually? The biblical view of human nature understands the person not as enclosed, but as permeable, open to the spiritual world. And then he goes on to say that we are to be porous to God. I mean, what if we were as attentive to our souls and our spirit as we currently are to our physical bodies? What if instead of being aware of the physical realm around us only and how that might kind of infect us, but we were also concerned with the spiritual realm and what is infecting us in a spiritual way? You know, we walk around now and we're just more aware due to all the research and science and stuff about the particles floating around in the air. But what if we had a similar spiritual insight of the spiritual activity taking place around us, sort of in the air, so to speak, and that we could pray accordingly? What if we had the same heightened awareness of people's spiritual health that we have of our or others' physical health. You know, we're aware these days when somebody is struggling physically, and that's fine, you know, and then they're coughing or they're sneezing, and we're kind of thinking about, we just become very aware of how they're doing when someone is struggling with sickness. But what if we had the same or more heightened awareness of the spiritual health of those around us? Right? That someone is struggling with addiction or demonic oppression, and we had the spiritual insight to pray for deliverance from spiritual sickness. And it's just why I've kind of slowly started to contend that our modern obsession now with physical health and the physical realm has begun to slip into maybe potential idolatry if we know more about that world than the spiritual world around us. That would be a definition of idolatry. And it's why it's perhaps just a great time to fast in the church, to repent and say, God, make me more aware of what's happening in your kingdom, in the spiritual worlds, than being consumed by anything else. To say to God that all the insight in the world about other things could never compare to just a glimpse of God's beautiful and loving heart. And what fasting does is it tenderizes our heart. It makes them more permeable, which then allows us to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God and what He might be asking us to do. So besides this overall deeper sensitivity and awareness of God's presence in us and around us, let me just kind of quickly list 7 biblical reasons why we would fast with scripture references, and you probably won't be able to jot these all down because I know you're all taking notes, but you can email Christiana for the slide or just email the info email, and we'd be glad to send the slide. But 7 biblical reasons we fast: to gain spiritual strength and overcome temptation. That's what Jesus did in the deserts. The next 2 go together: to weaken the flesh and its control, and then correspondingly to strengthen the desires of the Spirit, Galatians 6:8. So fasting kind of sometimes speeds the process of growth in a way. It's kind of more revelation faster, removes things from our lives that need to be removed so that we can mature more quickly. 4, to discern God's will in a specific matter. This is a great time to fast, and when I've often fasted in my life. 5, to humble oneself, repent and show sorrow for sin, and declare dependence upon God. And we see lots of evidence of this in Scripture. 6, to pray for and expand the work of God locally and around the world. And we'll close with Acts 13 there, how that made a difference. And then lastly, to pray for and be a vessel of justice. So Isaiah 58 here, remember what fasting isn't in the first couple verses of Isaiah 58. But now let's look what God says it is to go with this theme of justice. God says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. So as you can see from the list, you know, some of the benefits of fasting are external, as our circumstances are touched by God's power. Some of the rewards are kind of internal, as our hearts encounter Him in new depth. So hopefully you're somewhat interested in fasting just from hearing kind of that description, but we might wonder, well, how do I go about it then in my life? So let's talk about the very practical of how to fast. So this is, of course, more of a teaching kind of message here. So we set aside the normal time or times we would eat during the day, and instead of eating, we pray, we read the Bible, we journal, or we just rest in God's good presence and ask for deeper awareness of Him. You can use a prayer guide. So when you came in, hopefully today you received, we've just kind of had a different emphasis for each day, Monday through Friday this week. So even if you're just setting aside 5 minutes a day this week, that would be powerful if we just all prayed for each of these emphases each day for 5 minutes, if we found a time, a little extra time to do that. So that can maybe help you. We have a bunch of resources on the prayer table that's out in the lobby, 31 ways to pray for individual prayer. There's an actual prayer liturgy that you can just go through and pray through yourself, and there's other helps out there to kind of help you do that. For those going on longer fasts, that is maybe more than a meal or more than a day, there are several different types of fasts that people do and or that we find in the scripture. So of course, there's just the regular fast, which is abstaining from food and drinking water only. So we find this kind of fast in the Bible. So basically zero caloric intake. The liquid fast is going without solid food and drinking only light liquids like fruit juice and things like that. So they call this whatever, a juice fast or whatever in a non-Christian kind of description. But this is good if, you know, you got to keep your energy up a little bit. You're still working and doing things, but you want to fast, dedicate extra time for prayer. So maybe you're still drinking juices and different things like that. There's what we would call a partial fast, or biblically, sometimes this is referred to as the Daniel fast. And so what this is just eliminating or limiting any kind of tastier types of foods and basically only eating vegetables and nuts and things like that. And you can, you know, see that in the book of Daniel. But that still increases our awareness of what we're doing and hopefully attunement to God's presence as we only eat really these very basic foods for a period of time. And then lastly, the Benedict fast, where you only eat eggs Benedict all week. No, I'm just kidding. The Benedict fast, which comes from Saint Benedict, the 6th century great spiritual monk. And this consists of, because he did this throughout his entire life, consists of only one meal a day. So for example, you would only eat lunch throughout the week and then fast the other times, or you could kind of reverse that and maybe you only fast lunch for the week is kind of your one thing, but you do it consistently throughout time. Benedict did it his whole life, or most of his life. So just a few important warnings or disclaimers, because this is really important when we come into fasting. No matter which fast you choose, you should drink lots and lots of water and liquids. That's really important. If you've never fasted before or not very experienced, honestly, I would just recommend you start with a meal. You know, whether that's a couple meals this week, but separated by a few days. But just kind of start with that. And then you might want to build up to a 24-hour period, whether it's, you know, at the end of this week or just some other time, and then maybe 48 hours or whatever. But kind of slowly build that practice up over months of time. If you're ever going to fast more than one day, you probably should consult a doctor or at least talk to someone who's maybe experienced and has done that and kind of has some advice on what to do, because you might just need a little bit of guidance. Just be aware that the following probably should not fast, and this is just important to know. Those with known or suspected physical disability or illness, anyone with any history, even lightly, with any kind of eating disorder, God understands. This is not a good practice for you. Those recovering from surgery, if you're taking certain medications or trying new medications, definitely if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, don't fast, and diabetics. And then I would say most minors, that minors are discouraged from fasting and should never engage really even in a partial fast without at least parental oversight or at least permission in that. And I think it's important to note that the Bible actually never speaks, to my knowledge, of children engaging in fasting. Let's leave it at that. But if you're fasting as a family, what you could do is, you know, kind of explain what mom and dad are doing and invite your kids into that practice in some other way, or maybe more of like a Daniel fast kind of idea at a meal where you eat, you know, more vegetables. Your kids will love you for it. And you can do that, or just eating certain foods. But for those, like for minors and those in those above categories who just can't fast from food, and, you know, there are a lot of reasons for that, they should consider non-food fasting. And even those of us who are fasting food might want to really consider removing these things for a period of time to focus on God. So things like television, movies, video games, and other screen-related activity or entertainment are great things to fast for a period of time. Social media would be a great thing to fast for a period of time. Being on our phones and giving that up. You could fast your homework or your household chores. No, I'm just kidding. Don't fast those things. That would be too easy. You could fast only certain foods. And this is kind of like the Daniel fast or what we do sometimes during Lent, where you give up something that maybe you routinely have and you give it up. But most importantly, just ask God. God, what do you want me to set aside that would be beneficial to my relationship with you and to drawing closer to you? And just ask God what it is, because it might not be on this list. And then lastly, after the fast, and I think this is important, sometimes overlooked, first of all, come down easy if you're doing any kind of longer fast. Work your way back into regular eating. Don't eat too much right away. So nobody gave me this advice early on. And I remember the first week-long fast I did as a 19-year-old, and I was pumped about it. You know, me and a couple of my friends were doing it, and we fasted all week. And I remember we went to the Friday last worship service to close off the week-long fast, and then we all went out for pizza and wings and, like, all of this food. And I just remember I ate so much, right? Like, I was just, had been a long week, and I'm like, yes, I'm finally eating. I found out later that is really dangerous to do that. Because your stomach shrinks and you have to kind of slowly reintroduce foods, and they should be healthy foods and things like that. Fortunately, a 19-year-old body can probably handle it, but don't do that. I learned later that when you break a fast, you know, you have a few carrots with like tomato soup first, and you eat that, and then you kind of slowly build your way back up. But as far as after the fast, you know, lastly, kind of, this is sort of anecdotally just my experience, but be aware that often I feel like breakthroughs come after the fast. Sometimes during the fast, like, we feel really discouraged, actually. We're tired, we're hungry, we're just trying our best to press in, but it's actually kind of hard, and we feel like, is this really making a difference? And I find this over and over again, that way more is happening than we realize. And then sometimes after we break the fast, suddenly there's a lot of breakthrough, and there's a lot of revelation, and we realize that a deeper work than we realized was being done in our hearts. And so that's really important. Don't get discouraged as you're going through the fasting and that. So here's kind of this week's plan as the band comes up here. So we have our Oceanside Week of Prayer and Fasting. So hopefully as I kind of talk to you, you maybe just want to pray through, Lord, what are you calling me to do? But there are several ways to participate. One is this prayer guide that I already talked about. And if you're watching on the live stream, we'll post these or send them out via the e-newsletter so that you have them as well and can pray along with us. There are prayer cards right here up front. And so maybe don't use the ones in your seat if you can, just because these are the ones where the other side's messed up. So we might as well use the prayer side. But there are prayer cards here. And you can come forward and at any time before the end of the service, fill this out. You can either leave it up on the platform, because we can pray for them on Tuesday, but just be aware that they would be public, that people would read them. Or you could put it in the giving box, and if you put it in the giving box, we'll assume you want it a little more private, and we'll pray for it as a staff together in some of our prayer times. But fill out a prayer request card, and it'll give us some things to pray for, both staff, as well as when we gather on Tuesday, we can hand them out and make sure that your prayer need is being prayed for. You can come into this building anytime. During the open office hours, 10 to 4, Tuesday through Thursday, because sometimes it's nice to get out of your space and to be in a different space. So if you just want to come in our sanctuary and pray, we'd love to have you in the building, whether it's on your lunch hour or just whenever you're setting aside time to fast. And then lastly, as we've already mentioned, we are going to gather together on Tuesday from 12 to 1. That's going to be our main prayer gathering. Life groups are launching this week, so they're going to be praying in their life groups and having times of prayer, so that's why we're not doing an evening one. But Tuesday, 12 to 1, some of our staff will be here and would love to pray alongside with you for that time. The first half or so will probably just be praying individually and doing that, and then we'll do some corporate activity. So let me close with Acts 13. There's lots of examples like this in the Bible, but where it says, "Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Saul." And it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting," and these two things often go hand in hand, "the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." And if you know the rest of the story, this ends up rocking the world. But what was the foundation? Worship and fasting. Fasting and prayer was in the context. And then they got sent out and they received divine revelation of what they should do and where they should go and what should happen. So we're just going to start this week off now with calling out to God for a fresh move of His Spirit's upon us. And as we do this, you're welcome to come down front and just set the tone and kneel and pray, or at your seat, you can fill out a prayer card and then leave it up here. You can leave it face down if you want, or put it in the giving box. But you might even just want to use this time to pray and say, "Okay, Lord, what are you asking me to do? Because I don't want to tell you what to do. I want the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do, because it's going to look different for each people. But what we do want is just everyone to hopefully pray and seek the Lord this week for the needs of our church, for the needs of our community, for the difficulties in our world that we're facing. So would you stand with me and just prepare your hearts? And if you want to sit or kneel, that's fine too. But Lord, we just invite your presence through your Holy Spirit. We thank you. We serve a very real God who is present and with us. And so, Lord, this week of prayer and fasting, if that's one of the main fruit that comes out of this, just a deeper awareness of your everyday presence. Lord, we long for that, to see what you see, know what you know, feel what you feel, love what you love, hate what you hate. Lord, we want your heart. So help us, Lord. May it even begin now as we seek you in worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, or download our mobile app for more content. If you're in the area, we hope to see you soon. Until next time, may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you as you live by His Spirit.